Asbury. How is everybody? All right, one person's excited to be here. I appreciate that. This is a special Sunday. It's Children's Sabbath, and we're so happy that you're here at Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Caleb Conrad. This is the launch band. We're so happy to see you. I see some folks that I love to see. I see my in-laws are here. I see the Adkins are here. I see the Cogbills are here. What a special Sunday. Let's stand and worship together. But before we worship, say hello to somebody around you that you haven't seen in a while. Say it's good to see them. Have a seat. We have a very special guest here to welcome you to Asbury.
Good morning and welcome to Asbury. I'm Cadence and I have a few announcements. Please register your attendance. If you're online, you may scan the QR code on your screen, and if you're here in the WAC, you may scan the QR code or fill out the Connect slip. Today is Children's Sabbath and Brother Hammett will share the story of Jonah. We're excited about the Trunk or Treat on the 23rd from 4 to 6. Please sign up to volunteer at the on the table at the back of the service after at the back of the WAC after the service. Now Jacob will come and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. God, it's hard to forgive when people are mean. When they hurt us, we want to hurt them back, but we know when we are sorry for our mistakes. You forgive us. Help us not to hate but to love. Today we pray for people everywhere who are hurting. We pray for Clifford Smith, June Glacier, Fred Williams, family, Barbara Clark, Megan Arnold, Joyce Dennis, Jean Hammett, Mark Schimmer, Val Carr, David Hickman, Barbara Dover's family, Mary Curtis, hurricane survivors, and Kristen Dawson. Now we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now the children's choir will come and sing.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Yeah, that's great. Do you guys know how to play hide and seek? Yeah. Well, my family likes to play hide and seek, but we do it to where we make it a little harder. The seeker has to try and find everybody, but in the dark. So, do you think you can hide from God?
No.
Yeah. Well, in the Bible, there's somebody named Jonah who tries to hide from God. Do you guys know the story of Jonah and the whale? Well, if you don't know, here's a reminder. Jonah was a prophet of God. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and told him to stop doing bad things. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He did not like the people of Nineveh. He was afraid of them. So he tried to hide from God on a ship that sailed away from Nineveh. A big storm came in that scared the people of the boat. Well, the people of the boat were trying to figure out what happened, but then Jonah told them that he had hid from God. So Jonah, to fix his mistake, let the people throw him over the ship into the water. Well, then a giant fish or a whale came and swallowed Jonah. He was in the whale for 3 days. And in that time, he learned a valuable lesson that no matter what you do, God loves you and you can never hide from him. So take one of these sweet treats, Swedish fish, to remember the story of Jonah, that God loves you and he always is and will never find you. There we go. Did everybody get one? Okay, good. Let's pray. God, we know we can't hide from you. You know what we do and think. Give us courage and strength to do all the things you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I like Sunday salad. I like the church.
I like to go to Asbury because I like to sing.
I love Asbury because I get to worship God.
I love Asbury because of my Sunday school.
There's donuts.
My favorite thing about Asbury is how good of like a community.
My favorite thing about Asbury is I always feel welcome here, and that everything is just so nice.
Kids Club.
I love Tony because we get to go to Sunday school. Yeah.
I like to do music because I like to sing it.
I love about church is that we get to sing songs and we get to have fun.
My favorite part of Asbury is that everybody's so welcoming and kind, and I just love it.
We love Asbury so much.
We want you to come and bring a friend, so you can and your friend can enjoy all the fun things we have.
Bye!
It's such a joy to hear why this church means so much to our children. And I'm just so thankful on Children's Sabbath that we have this opportunity to celebrate what these kids mean to our church and all the kids that have grown up here over the years. It's all possible because of the faithfulness of this community. And so as we move into our time of offering, we need to remember that as we're making investments in future growth of our children and our youth, and Asbury is one of the best places that does that. And so I'm so thankful for all of that. I also want to remind you, or I've been asked to remind you, that we currently have a competition going on that is a canned food / diaper drive. We are looking to stock the food pantry and the diaper pantry. And if you bring those donations by, you can take them to the office and you can put them either on Nick's table or on Hammett's table. A 1 week update is that one pastor has a 123 can lead, and it's not the one holding the guitar, but it is far from over, and I encourage you as much as you can to donate to Team Hammett. Let's pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for this beautiful opportunity to be together as a community of faith. We thank you, God, for these wonderful children that we all share in the responsibility of teaching Christ's love to. We thank you that we have the place to do that. And God, we know that through our faithfulness, our childlike faithfulness, that when we give of our time and our resources, that you always continue to amaze us. And so, God, we thank you for this moment to participate in your kingdom building call on our lives. It's in your Son's beautiful name we pray. Amen.
I see the King of Glory.
Today's scripture lesson is Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. The word of the Lord came upon Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and proclaim to her the message I speak to you." So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's word. Now to God, Nineveh was a large city, a three-day walk. Jonah began to enter the city, one day's walk. Then he cried out and said, 40 days and Nineveh's overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed in God, called a fast, and put on a sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they repented of their evil way, God was sorry over the evil he said he would do to them, and he didn't do it. This is the word of God to the people of God.
Thank you, Avery. Thank you. Well, good morning. Good morning. It's nice to see y'all today. Glad you're here. Glad to, for those of you who are joining us online as well. Welcome to Children's Sabbath. I'm so thankful for our kids. And wasn't it nice? We've not had a children's choir sing in this church in 3 years. And so I'm so happy to see them today. Let's give them a sign of our appreciation, too. And welcome back. Before I say what I'm going to say, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that I have a higher tolerance for public humiliation than Brother Nick does, and so I encourage you to give as much as possible to Brother Nick, amen? I love the story of Jonah, as you'll see, and one of the very first books I remember on my bookshelf, it's probably the first book in my library, was a little tiny storybook of the story of Jonah, and I loved it when I was a child. It was a very simple story about how a disobedient prophet gets stuck in the belly of a whale. And when I was little, I used to read that, and I would wonder, did that really happen? Can a person live in the belly of a whale like Pinocchio does in that story? But when I got older, I learned the backstory of the book of Jonah. And I think it's helpful. Today we're going to just hear the story. The power of this story is in its telling. And as you listen, I want to invite you to keep three things in mind. First of all, the book of Jonah was written much later than the lifetime of the prophet Jonah. So the prophet Jonah is mentioned in one other place in our Bible, and he lived in about 700 BC, maybe a little bit before that. But most biblical scholars believe that the book of Jonah was written over 300 years later, during the time of the return from the exile. So second of all, it's helpful for us to keep this in mind. What was going on when the folks came back to Jerusalem from the exile? Well, it turns out that they were having a big old fight about who belongs in Judah. What do we do with foreigners, with immigrants? Some of the folks, like Ezra and Nehemiah, said, all the foreigners got to go. Judah is for Jews, period. And if you're a foreigner, you can come visit, but you can't stay. And if you're a Jewish man and you have married a foreign woman, then you must send her packing. You must divorce her, send her packing, and if you got any kids with her, they gotta go too, all right? Ezra and Nehemiah, that's what they say. But Jonah gives the opposing view. The book of Jonah gives the opposing view. So, it's very helpful to pay close attention, as you hear the story, to what the foreigners do and how they respond to God, and contrast that with how Jonah, the supposed prophet of God, responds. Now, finally, it's important for us to say, Jesus sided with the book of Jonah. And you may remember that in his ministry, Jesus took a lot of heat because he went to the Gentiles, to the foreigners in his day, and ministered to them just like he did to the Jews. And some of the folks, some of the good religious leaders, did not like that one bit. And they went to him and challenged him on it. And Jesus says to them, the only sign I have for you is the sign of Jonah. And then he walks away. Which is to say, foreigners belong, amen? foreigners just as much as the Jews can be part of God's family. So having that in mind, let me say one last thing. We should not get too hung up on the question, did he really get swallowed by a fish and live there in the belly for 3 days? Because if we focus on that too much, we might miss the actual question of the book of Jonah, which is this. What if God loves our enemies? What if God loves the people we hate? Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God of us all, we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. And so it happened that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim over them, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And we really can't blame him. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, the Assyrian Empire. And in the prophet Jonah's day, the Assyrians committed war crimes, brutal war crimes against the Israelites, against the Hebrews, Jonah's people. They had a king, and his name was Tiglath-Pileser III. Oh, somebody remembered from this morning. Some of these folks have been here already. When I say King Tiglath-Pileser III, you're supposed to gasp, okay? So Tiglath-Pileser III. Okay, Tiglath-Pileser III is like Darth Vader, Adolf Hitler, all of those bad guys you've ever heard about, all wrapped up into one. When Tiglath-Pileser III conquered Israel, he skinned people alive, okay? Brutal. So God comes to Jonah and says, I want you to go to the capital of Assyria, where that guy lives, and I want you to preach to them whatever I tell you. I'd be hopping the first ship in the other direction too, amen? And that's exactly what he does. We don't even know where Tarshish is. If you look in your Bible and you look in the footnotes, it'll say, we have no idea what this is. Tarshish is anywhere but there, amen? Anywhere but Nineveh. And that's what he does. So he goes down to Joppa and buys a ticket on a ship, and he goes out. No sooner than they get to the harbor, then this gigantic storm erupts on the sea. The sea is frothing and foaming. There's tornadoes. There's a hurricane. There's lightning. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And the Bible is really funny. This story is really funny in Hebrew. It says that the ship itself was so scared that it was going to break apart. And so the sailors, and these are probably Phoenicians or perhaps Greeks. In either case, the Phoenicians and the Greeks both believed in many, many, many gods. They were called polytheists. So all of these sailors start praying, each one to his own god, trying to figure out which god they have ticked off and caused this storm. Well, they start bailing out the ship, and they're throwing everything they can overboard to lighten the burden. And while all of this is going on, all this madness is going on, Jonah decides it's a good time for a nap. And so he walks to the back of the ship. He goes down in the hull, and he falls fast asleep in his cabin. Well, the ship's captain looks around, and he sees all of his men who are really keeping busy but also praying aloud to every god they can possibly think of, and he looks, and he sees that somebody is missing. It's that guy Jonah that bought his ticket in Joppa. And so he goes to the cabin. He hears him in the middle of this storm in the ocean, hears him snoring through his door, and he starts banging on it and says, hey, man, get up, get up. What are you doing? Why are you snoring? Call to your gods. Perhaps your gods will show up and take notice of us, and we won't die out here in the sea. So Jonah gets out of bed, and he rubs the sleep from his eyes, and he goes up on deck, and he looks there. And when he gets there, the sailors are all casting lots to try to figure out which one of these guys has caused all of this turmoil. And sure enough, because you can't run away from God, God's in charge of the lots in this case too. The lot, of course, falls to Jonah. And when it does, all of these sailors say, okay, who are you? Tell us about yourself. Where are you from? Who are your people? Who are your gods? And Jonah has an opportunity to brag about the God of Israel. He says, I am a Hebrew, and our God is the Lord. And the Lord is the creator of all things. Our Lord is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, created everything else in the entire universe, the heavens and the earth. And the men stand there with their mouths dropped open and say, what in the world have you done to make that God mad? And he says, well, he told me to do something, I ran the other way. And they say, dude, what is going on? How can we fix this? What can we do to make amends with this God? What can we do to you to make amends? And Jonah says, well, why don't you just throw me in the ocean? Why don't you just throw me in the sea? As soon as you do, the sea will calm down around you and you'll be fine. Well, they are reluctant to murder somebody on their ship. And so all of the sailors each grab an oar and they start rowing as hard and as fast as they can toward the shore. But of course to no avail, because the storm just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Finally, these pagan polytheistic sailors get down on their knees on the deck of the ship and they pray to Jonah's God. And the prayer is something like this. Lord of the universe, we have run out of options. And we are so sorry that we cannot think of anything else to do. Please don't blame his death on us. He's telling us to do this, and we are so sorry we can't think of anything else. Then they pick Jonah up and they throw him overboard. Immediately, there's a dead calm. The storm stops. The sailors at that moment make sacrifices and make vows to Jonah's God. They become followers of the Lord. Meanwhile, you still can't escape God's presence, even in the depths, deepest depths of the ocean. God sends a big fish, and I always say, it's a fish, not a whale. In Hebrew, they did not have a different word for a whale. They were the same thing. So it could be a whale. Amen? Amen, everybody that thinks it's a whale? All right. And we don't want to read it too closely because actually, if you read it in Hebrew, a dog is a fish, D-A-G. A dog is a fish. And if you add an H, a hay, to the end of that, you get daga, and a daga is a female fish. And so when Jonah gets swallowed by the whale, it's a dog, it's a male fish, and then later on it talks about a daga, a female fish. And so some of the ancient rabbis in their commentary said, well, he must have been swallowed by a male fish and then regurgitated undersea and swallowed by a female fish. So don't get too hung up in the details about Jonah, amen? That's the lesson of that. So anyway, whether it's a boy fish or a girl fish, he gets swallowed by a fish and he spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. I don't know what that's like, but I assume it would be a pretty dark and scary place. So after 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish, Jonah decides, well, he can't think of anything else to do. Maybe I ought to pray. He hasn't prayed so far. He hasn't done anything to honor God so far in this story, so he decides to pray. Well, Jonah, the prophet, doesn't exactly know how to pray. And if you read the prayer in chapter 2 of the book of Jonah, almost every single phrase in the prayer that he prays is found somewhere else in the Bible. And he uses this prayer to do a couple of things. If you listen closely, I'll read it in just a second. He blames God for the predicament that he's in. And he claims to be the most worshipful, obedient prophet who has ever lived, the most worshipful, obedient Jew that has ever lived, okay? So listen to what he prays. He says, I called for my distress to the Lord, and he answered me from the belly of Sheol. I cried for help. You heard my voice. Then you threw me from the abyss in the heart of the seas, and a river surrounded me. All your breakers and waves passed over upon me. And so I said, I was thrown away from your eyes. How will I ever gaze upon your holy temple again? The waters surrounded me. The deep encompassed me. Weeds wrapped around my head at the foundations of the mountains. I descended to the earth. Its bars were shut upon me forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life force fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who revere empty idols, like those pagan sailors that all just converted, those who revere empty idols abandon their loving kindness. Then I answered in a voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you that which I vow I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And hearing that sickly, gross, syrupy, arrogant, God-blaming prayer, the fish gets sick to his stomach and swims up from the bottom of the sea. And the Hebrew is pretty clear about what the fish does. It pukes him up on the shore. And I need to apologize to my mother, whose name was Kay. The word Kay in Hebrew is the word for to vomit. So apologies to any other K's who may be in here. I'm so sorry, and I just said that in front of your children. So good luck with that. Anyway, the fish vomits the prophet Jonah up on the shore, and then the word of the Lord comes to him a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and proclaim to her the message I speak to you. And so finally, Jonah decides to do what God has asked him to do. He gets up and he goes to Nineveh, but he ain't happy about it. He gets there, and this is a picture from a few years ago of Nineveh. That goes back to the Assyrian Empire, and that's what it looked like about 10 or 12 years ago. Daesh or ISIS came in and destroyed everything that was left, and so that's no longer there. But he gets there, probably goes through that gate. In Nineveh, and God says, I want you to say whatever I tell you to say. It never says that God told Jonah what to say. Jonah makes up, before he prays and listens to what God wants him to say, Jonah makes up a five-word sermon, five words in Hebrew, and it is this: 40 days till Nineveh's destroyed, or 40 days till Nineveh's overthrown. And the word for destroyed or overthrown there is something like this. And kids, y'all might remember this from the previous sermon. So let's say we're making a pizza. Anybody like pizza? All right, what are we going to put on this pizza? Peppers, pineapple, mushrooms. Somebody say Canadian bacon and pepperoni. Bacon, man, this is getting to be pretty good. I'm gonna throw in a bunch of cheese on it. Sausage. Somebody said sausage. All right. What? Pizza sauce. You gotta have some pizza sauce on it. Yeah, yeah. Right. You gotta have the. Okay. So we're gonna put our pizza. Gosh, that's a crazy pizza. We're gonna put our pizza in the oven. It's gonna be a really hot oven, and it's gonna be cooked in about 10 or 12 minutes. And I get my pizza peel, and I reach in there, and I pull the pizza out, and I put it on a big round tray, and I take that pizza in my hand, and this is what the word means in Hebrew. You take that pizza and you overthrow it. You go slam and throw it on the ground. No, our beautiful pizza is now disgusting and all over the floor. And who, Mom says, is going to clean up that mess? Not me. I did. I did. I picked it up and I threw it on the ground. So, 40 days till Nineveh is overthrown, like that nasty pizza. Miraculously, that five-word, hateful, mean, vengeful sermon convinces all 120,000 plus Ninevites, including the king, to repent. And in fact, if you read the story closely, it says that the animals in town repented too. So all the cats, the dogs, the cows, the chickens, I don't know about those squirrels. My squirrels in my backyard will not repent of eating all my bird seed. But anyway, all of them feel sorry for what they have done to Jonah's people. And they repent. Well, the news gets up to God. And when God saw what the Ninevites did, how they repented of their evil ways, God, you know, most translations will say God was sorry, but often when that word appears in the Old Testament, it's translated as God repented. God repented of the evil that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. When the evil Ninevites repented, and their animals repented, I don't know how that works either. It's a story. God repented of the evil that he was going to do to the Ninevites and did not do it. Now, God forgives them. And what sounds like a blessing to most of us, isn't it amazing that God could forgive evil like that? Amen? But what sounds like a blessing to us is a curse to Jonah's ears. The Bible says, but it was evil for Jonah, great evil, and it burned him up. And so he prayed to the Lord and said, oh, now, Lord, isn't this what I said when I was in my own land? That's why I ran away to Tarshish at first, for I know that you are a gracious God and compassionate, slow to anger, and of great loving kindness and sorry for evil. Now, you might recognize those words from the prophet Joel. And when Joel speaks those words, it's a sign of hope and grace and love for God's people who have sinned are now being restored. But for Jonah, the fact that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and of great loving kindness toward the people he hates is evil. Then Jonah begs the Lord to take his life from him. He cannot live unless those people get their just desserts. And I love what God says. God comes to him, and in Hebrew, God looks at Jonah and says, hey, man, is burning up doing you any good? And that makes Jonah so angry that he storms out of the city to the east side, and he sets up a booth for himself. And if you've ever heard of the festival of Sukkot in the Jewish tradition, he does a very religious thing, is what that's about. Sets up a booth to cover his head and deliver him from his misery. And then a plant grows up. God sends a plant, and this plant grows up and covers Jonah's head to protect him from the sun. And Jonah is so happy. It says the joy that... the joy is the same joy as the joy the shepherds felt on the night of Christ's birth. It's exceeding joy at this plant. So the plant covers up. Well, then God decides, I'm going to send a worm. And the worm goes, and it starts nibbling on the plant. And sure enough, within a day, the plant dies. And Jonah is just absolutely fuming angry, especially when the very next morning God sends a very sultry, hot wind from the east and smites Jonah's head with heat so that he's faint, and then he begins, he begins to beg for his soul to die. He says to God, death is better than life for me. So God comes to Jonah once again, and God says, hey, Jonah, is burning up about the plant doing you any good? Jonah says, burning up to death is good to me. And then the Lord says, hey, you had pity on that plant. You didn't dig a hole for it. You didn't take a seed and plant it. You didn't cover it with soil. You didn't fertilize it. Didn't put Miracle-Gro on it. Didn't water it. It came into being in one night, and it perished the next night. And then God says this, so then, should I not have pity on the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left, and many beasts. And that's the end of the book of Jonah. God comes to Jonah and says to him, even though these people did evil, great evil, I created each and every one of them. Why should I not have compassion on them? What do you think Jonah did? So here we sit with our anger and with our grudges, with our complaints, with deep-rooted prejudices that should have been eradicated a long time ago. And God comes to us, to you and to me, and asks, is burning up doing you any good? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. God, we do thank you for being with us today, and we thank you for creating us. We feel so blessed to be your children. And yet sometimes we forget that people who have done us harm are also worthy of your love. And so, God, we lay before you all of the grievances, all of the grudges, all of the prejudices, all of the complaints that are burning us up. And we pray that you will help us to see not only ourselves, but each and every person we meet, whether they be friend or foe, as a child of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. I'd like to invite you to a time of prayer. If you've been carrying a grudge or anger in your heart, or if you just want to come and pray at the rail, you're welcome to do that as we sing. If you'd like to become a part of the Asbury Church family, you're welcome to do that as well. You can come at the end of the song, and we'd be glad to welcome you into our fellowship. Let's remain seated, and we'll sing together this beautiful song, No Longer Slaves.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone, and I'm no longer I'm no longer
Asbury family, I want to take a moment and present to you Mark and Lisa Davis. Mark and Lisa have been visiting our church for some time now. They've taken our Starting Point class, and they have decided on this morning that they would like to become part of our Asbury family. I have two very simple questions for you, and then I'll have a question of the congregation, and we should have the response for that on the screen. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say I do. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? If so, say I will. Asbury family, as members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks to all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, and in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Mark and Lisa come to us from Faith Spring Church, and prior to that, St. James United Methodist Church, and it is an absolute honor to be part of your journey in ministry, and we are thankful that you are part of the Asbury family. Welcome to the family. I'm gonna ask the Davises just to hang here after Hammett does the benediction to give you an opportunity to come by and shake their hands and meet them and welcome them to Asbury.
Mark and I had a blast unloading the pumpkins the other day, so, I mean, we didn't do that by ourselves, of course, but anyway, so glad to have y'all with us, and welcome to the Asbury family. Would you please stand for our blessing, and before I give it, next Sunday is Laity Sunday, and I'm so excited that Amy Livers will be here, and she's going to preach for us next Sunday, and I want you to encourage you to come back for that. Would you please receive what, did I forget something? Okay, sometimes I forget stuff, so anyway. And it's a little early, so I probably forgot something significant. There are a ton of pumpkins out there, and you are more than welcome to go purchase them to support our youth. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.